This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The Oregon State Legislature began its full session recently. We're checking in with area lawmakers periodically. We've got a couple of more conversations to have in the next few days, but our first opportunity and his first time on the air as an elected state representative, Alec Skarlatos, representing House District 4. Alec, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Cal. Thanks for having me.
So I guess, first of all, what was it like those first few days to get started and be a member of the legislature?
Oh, a little chaotic, definitely learning a lot, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been about what I expected, but luckily I have good staff and the House Republican office does a good job of onboarding everybody. So I'm having a good time and it's nice to kind of finally hit my stride here on like the second week.
Now, I imagine you were able to go up early and maybe tour around, kind of get a lay of the land with buildings so you know where you're going and all those kinds of logistical things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, this is really my like second week because we were here over a week in advance getting the office set up and going through some trainings and all that. So it's I feel very prepared and it's good to be here.
Now, are you one of the younger members of the legislature?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the younger side. There's a couple Democrats that are younger than me, but it's nice to not be considered the youngest politician anymore.
So, and you're what, 31, 32 now?
I'm 32 now.
And you've been seeking political office for a while. Is it kind of like you feel like a sense of accomplishment to finally get there?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we've been working at this for a while. I would say it's more of a, I feel more anxious to actually start getting the work done and actually diving into the issues. I feel like it's a long time coming. And if anything, I honestly feel a little bit overprepared and anxious to make sure I do the right thing. I would say with the amount of time I've spent in politics, it, if anything, makes me feel like I need to raise the bar as far as when it comes to actually executing what I came here to do.
Now, do you feel like your age could impact a viewpoint that maybe you are one of the few that bring to the legislature versus other folks that are in their 40s, 50s, and above?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I bring perspective of, you know, millennial generation. And, you know, I think most people my age and younger especially have an issue with affordable housing. The cost of, you know, cost of wages has not increased with the cost of housing nowhere close. And a lot of younger people, especially in the Gen Z generation, have all but given up the dream of home ownership, which used to be a staple of American culture. And so I think that's incredibly disturbing. And it's one of the things I want to prioritize being from one of the younger generations here.
And when you talk about housing, I mean, Roseburg has talked about a housing shortage, but it's urban and rural. It's really most areas of the state. The housing production hasn't been up there in recent years. Is that an economy-related thing, but does that also tie into some of the state land use restrictions?
Yeah, it's a lot to do with the state land use restrictions. And the state, you know, is trying to throw a lot of money around to help with that, but I would prefer that the state and even some local governments just get out of the way and allow more developing to happen. I think the free market is always in the best position to solve this problem. When, you know, the state comes in with these massive projects, they always seem to be incredibly expensive for what you're getting for the money, and they also take 2 or 3 years to actually accomplish, and by then the free market could have solved that problem 2 years ago.
And it seems like sometimes when you have the state projects come out, a lot of that is a little bit more with an urban footprint in mind in terms of, for instance, more multifamily housing and less single-family housing.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I think we do need both. I mean, we do need some apartments and some of the, you know, like Roseburg, for instance, even though it's not in my district, they do need some apartments. Any kind of housing is going to drive down the cost of housing overall. But yeah, we do need a lot more single family housing as well. I mean, that is the American dream, not to live in an apartment your whole life, but to actually own your own home. So yeah, no, that's something I absolutely am trying to focus on, and I hope everyone else is here as well. But I definitely agree with you. Some of the Democrats tend to focus on urban housing almost exclusively, which I think we need to work on.
As a freshman in the legislature, I'm not sure exactly what the process is in terms of determining what committees you get on, but what did you end up being assigned to?
Oh, I got assigned to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, the Subcommittee for Transportation, that is. That's one. I got the House Committee on Economic Development, Small Business and Trade, and then I got Emergency Management, General Government, and Veterans. So despite all the names, those are three committees, and I was actually able to meet with Speaker Fahey ahead of time, and we discussed committee assignments, and fortunately, I was able to get every committee that I asked for, which I thought was great. But that being said, the fact that the Democrat majority is the one that assigns your committees and the minority leader, Christine Drazen, has no say on that is, I think, a little disturbing. I'm happy for myself, but I know some other Republicans that were not so happy having zero input on what committee they were assigned to.
How did you pick those as ones that you wanted to be on?
Well, just what's relating to the district and, frankly, what interests me and what I feel like I can bring to the table. You know, small business and economic development and trade, for instance, I feel like applies to my district pretty directly. The amount of small businesses in my district, I mean, we have no real large corporations. We need a lot more economic development. So I felt like that applied very directly to House District 4. Emergency management, general government, and veterans. Again, that was partially because I'm a veteran, and I am fascinated with emergency management. So that applied. And then the subcommittee on transportation and economic development, again, for the same reasons. We need economic development in the 4th House District. So I just am trying to bring whatever I can back to the district and bring whatever expertise I can to the committees.
Now, let's take a step back and talk about the 4th District. Of course, things shifted along the way, as they always do when you have a new census out. So for District 4 now, it includes not a huge part of Douglas County, right? Is it mainly Josephine County and Old Jackson County?
It's actually about a third of each. So it's South County for Douglas County. It's the north east corner of Josephine, almost up to Grants Pass, and then it's the northwest corner of Jackson. So it's just that southern I-5 stretch, basically from Winston to Central Point, basically Riddle, Canyonville, Glendale, Merlin, Rogue River, Gold Hill, and Central Point. So all those cities and towns are in the district. But yeah, like, I mean, very rural, no major metropolitan areas, except for maybe Central Point, if you count that. So very rural district, very blue collar, very timber oriented, which is kind of what I've been working on the whole time.
As you were out campaigning, what kind of kinds of things did you hear from people in these areas?
Mostly just they want the state government to get out of their business. I mean, a lot of people have felt like the state government has been overly restrictive. Of course, they want to get back to doing more forest management. That applies more to the federal government. But just due to the communities in this district all being at a high risk of fire and seeing the forest fires every summer, this is more current, but I think you may have heard of the fire map that got put out. We're hearing a lot back from people in the district about how displeased they are with the new fire map and what they think it's going to do to their insurance rates. And this pretty much deals with almost my entire district and almost all of Southern Oregon. So we're going to see what we can do about that. I think that was a piece of terrible legislation that got passed last session that we're hopefully going to deal with, but it's becoming an issue.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. He's live in Salem, member of the Oregon State Legislature, Alex Carlatos from House District 4. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1250. 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4 o'clock on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. We meet the new president of Seven Robotics, Joey Koenig. We'll be in on Inside Douglas County. Live from Salem right now, State Representative Alex Scarlatos in House District 4, just getting started. And what would you say in this first term for you are your main priorities as you get used to being part of the whole process and everything going on? What are you to be really focused on?
I think my main focus is going to be bringing some money back into the district as far as infrastructure. We're working with a lot of the small towns that are way overdue for a lot of infrastructure projects. The other thing, of course, is going to be being an advocate for the district with whatever they need. And frankly, because we're in the minority, super minority, we're going to be trying our best to stop a lot of the bad bills that are going to be coming out of Salem. You know, I hear a lot of bad stuff coming down the pike when it comes to anti-gun bills and things like that, that personally I'm very against. Playing a little bit of defense, but I'm going to try to do what I can for the district in the meantime.
Yeah, let's talk about this margin of Republicans versus Democrats. How does that impact you, especially in the House?
Well, it means that they only need to peel off a couple of Republicans to even pass tax bills, which they need a two-thirds majority for, which is really unfortunate because I'm sure there's a couple of the softer Republicans that might go over to that side for certain tax bills if they get something for their district. That being said, I'm going to try to work with some of the Democrats when it comes to the common sense issues. Anything like one of the pieces of legislation I'm putting forward is going to be to roll back Oregon sanctuary state laws, but only for violent offenders. I would like to do more than that, but I think even some Democrats will vote for that bill. And even if it doesn't get passed, then we'll at least have a record vote for the Democrats that think we should keep violent illegal immigrants in this country.
How do you, when you are in this more supermajority situation, it seems like it is always a defensive push. How do you bridge relationships to get some of your legislation, some of the Republican priorities across the line?
Well, to be honest, at the end of the day, if they want to kill something, they can. Like I said, we're just trying to bring the most common sense bills. We're not asking for a lot. We're not even asking for, you know, anything that's too extreme. We're just trying to get them to vote on the most common sense things. And if they still want to kill it, I mean, frankly, that's up to them. Again, I can advocate and do things for my district that are non-legislative. But I have a decent relationship with a few Democrats so far. We'll see how contentious that gets as the session heats up. Maybe they won't like me anymore, but now I'm feeling pretty optimistic that maybe we can get some of these common sense things done that are still good for everybody before it gets too hyperpartisan by the end of session.
You mentioned the one piece of legislation. Are there other ones that you're working on?
Yes, there's a handful. I'll come back and talk to you when they get introduced. I don't want to spoil it, but they probably won't be introduced for another couple of weeks. But when they are, I will let you know. But we got a lot of good stuff, a lot of common sense stuff. I think one of the other ones is going to be raising the limit for the inheritance tax. Right now in Oregon, it's only $1 million. I'd like to see it bumped up to at least $5 million. I'd like to see it abolished. But again, I'm trying to just write up some bills that at least have a theoretical opportunity of getting passed. Real common sense stuff. We'll see what we can actually get done.
You know, it seems that particular area has been a kind of a thorn for a lot of people because, especially in the farming community or folks with real estate holdings, it doesn't take a lot, and you can certainly consider yourself firmly in the middle class, to cross that threshold and have then your heirs end up scrambling, trying to figure out how to pay taxes, how to deal with the inheritance tax situation.
Well, exactly, and there is a higher threshold for, you know, farm owners and things like that, which I think got put in place a year or two ago, which is great. But unfortunately, with the inflation we've seen and the cost of housing going up so much, an estate over $1 million is, frankly, pretty much middle class now. It's ridiculous. And so you talk about someone with an estate that's just over $1 million and they're having to pay taxes on it, even though they've paid taxes their entire life, just to give it to their two or three children and give them a head start in life. And I just don't believe that's correct. I mean, we are such a high tax state, and people pay taxes at every turn across their whole life. We shouldn't tax them when they die as well. I think it's ridiculous.
Now, one of the functions, of course, of the legislature is going over the state budget. That gets pretty thick. Are there anything you're hearing from the leadership on either side of the aisle or from the governor's office about maybe what areas of legislation? For instance, some years the K-12 budget has gone out there first. Any word on any of that?
Well, I know the governor is trying to put a lot of money towards housing, like I mentioned earlier. But it's kind of unusual. Even Democrats are starting to talk about living within our means. I mean, we are such a high tax state, and we have so much revenue coming in. And frankly, we have a lot of revenue that Democrats have to almost come up with ways to spend it. I mean, it's not like we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And that's even more so true in the state than it is in the federal government. I just want to see the state live within their means. I was on committee last night, and for example, they were voting on putting in a pedestrian bridge somewhere along the coast. And just to research if this bridge would be a good idea was $3.2 million. And I pulled up the map, and I mentioned that there was no population on the other side of this bridge. So where would this bridge be going to? And a state senator, Bruce Starr, actually brought up another great point, that the existing bridge was already slated to be replaced probably within a few years. So why not add a pedestrian section to the new bridge instead of building an entirely separate one? And it's just things like that that I think that if you just bring a common sense approach, you wouldn't be spending this kind of money, $3.2 million to research a project. I mean, then you're talking $50 to $100 million to actually build the thing. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, especially when you consider that it's not going to be used hardly at all because there's no population center on the other side of the bridge. I mean, just things like this, it's like we brought up small towns earlier in my district, and we've got small towns that are struggling with their water system, with their roads, and then we're deciding to just put millions of dollars into a research study on if we should build a pedestrian bridge when that money could have rehabbed an entire city's water supply. I mean, I think it's ridiculous.
Are there other areas of the state budget or particular state agencies that you would like to see decreases to or increases to?
I'd like to see decreases across the board, especially with the general fund. I mean, it's just a giant slush fund for projects that, again, I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about, is we have all this money in this general fund, and they're trying to invent ways to spend it on pedestrian bridges to nowhere. And at the same time, you know, we have all these infrastructure projects that are needing to be done sooner rather than later in all these small communities. I'd like to see money from the general fund be spent on smaller communities in the state of Oregon, rehabbing the infrastructure they have, instead of building new infrastructure in places where it's not necessary. And I think we could do that while decreasing the amount of money spent in the general fund, because again, we have such a surplus right now that, I mean, we could cut taxes and still have plenty of money to get everything we need done.
What do you have going on legislatively the rest of the week?
The rest of the week, I think I'm just in committees and have a couple meetings with cities. It was city day yesterday, so I still have a bunch of meetings with mayors and city councilors and city managers all throughout the district, which has been actually very informative. I've met with, you know, Gold Hill, Rogue River, Central Point, Canyonville. They all sent representatives, actually Glendale as well. So it's been a fantastic learning experience, knowing what I need to spearhead going forward.
All right, we'll check it again as we go through the session. State Representative Alex Skarlatos, thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.